We continue in our narrative lectionary series with the story of the Israelites coming out of slavery in Egypt. It's in this story where, on the cusp of leaving, God gives them some specific instructions to remember this day. Our reading is from Exodus in the 12th and 13th chapters. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month will be the first month. It will be the first month for the year for you. Tell the Israelite community, on the 10th day of this month, they must make a lamb for each house, a lamb per house. If his household is too small for a lamb, it should share one with a neighbor nearby. You should divide the lamb in proportion to the number of people who will be eating it. Your lamb should be a flawless year-old male. You may take of it from the sheep or from the goats. You should keep close watch over it until the 14th day of this month. At twilight on that day, the whole assembled Israelite community should slaughter their lambs. They should take some of the blood and smear it on the two doorposts and on the beam over the door of the houses in which they are eating. That same night, they should eat the meat roasted over the fire. They should eat it along with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Don't eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roast it over fire with its head, legs, and internal organs. Don't let any of it remain until morning, and burn any of it left over in the morning. This is how you should eat it. You should be dressed with your sandals on your feet and your walking stick in your hand. You should eat the meal in a hurry. It is the Passover of the Lord. I'll pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I'll strike down every oldest child in the land of Egypt, both humans and animals. I'll impose judgments on all of the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be your sign on the houses where you live. Whenever I see the blood, I'll pass over you. No plague will destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." The Lord said to Moses, "Dedicate to me all your oldest children. Each first offspring from any Israelite womb belongs to me, whether human or animal." Moses said to the people, "Remember this day, which is the day that you came out of Egypt, out of the place you were slaves, because the Lord acted with power to bring you out of there. No leavened bread may be eaten. Today, in the month of Abib, you are going to leave. The Lord will bring you to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. It is the land that the Lord promised your ancestors to give you, a land full of milk and honey. You should perform this ritual in this month. You must eat unleavened bread for 7 days. The seventh day is a festival to the Lord. Only unleavened bread should be eaten for 7 days. No leavened bread and no yeast should be seen among you in your whole country. You should explain to your child on that day, 'It's because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt.'" Here ends the reading. Well, my friends, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. In this week's reading, we again jump ahead a few generations and into the book of Exodus. And Exodus begins with the line that there is a new Pharaoh in Egypt. We learn that the Israelites who followed Jacob's family into Egypt, surviving a severe famine, have now grown and multiplied over a few generations. And now the Egyptians fear that they will be overrun by their numbers. So they enslave the Israelites and force them into arduous labor. God calls upon Moses to demand Pharaoh free the Israelites. And today's passage immediately follows the 10 plagues and that God sends to press Pharaoh into relenting. And it's the turning point in this rescue story of Israel. Their exodus from Egypt is a poignant, defining story for the Israelites, and it remains so even for our Jewish siblings today. The story of Passover has been remembered for generations as God instructed. Families and neighbors gather, adhering to these instructions that we read about in our passage, and they recall this very story, remembering God's work in history, God's special relationship with the Jewish people, how God provides and rescues them. Today, this Passover meal that is celebrated in the home by our Jewish siblings is known as the Seder. And this week I came across a pastor who called this meal of lamb and unleavened bread and bitter herbs memory food. Memory food. I think we can relate to this. What food or meal stirs up memories for you? Is there something that a parent or a loved one has made for you on your birthday or at Christmas each year? Does your family have a traditional meal that you share at a particular time of the year or on a special occasion? For me, summer did not begin until my mom made a giant bowl of her homemade potato salad. It was a huge bowl, and it only lasted usually a day or two. But summer did not begin. It was like a ritual. So take a moment, turn to your neighbor and share. Just take 2 minutes and share what meal and memory go together for you. Memory food. Sometimes we might not even remember what was on the menu at a particular occasion or at some gathering. We may not remember what was served, but often we remember that we were fed. It's a whole body thing, a whole body fullness thing that satisfies deep within. And this becomes true for the Israelites and their relationship with God. The Passover meal becomes a feast that's saturated with the story of God's rescue of their ancestors from oppression and suffering in Egypt. And even before there was a covenant that God made with them, even before the Ten Commandments were issued, God satisfies them and gives them a meal, asking them to remember. A meal that engages the taste buds and the smell, our sight and touch and hearing. And it's through this meal that then the Lord commands them to teach their children how God rescued them and cares for them. Jesus gathered with his friends in Jerusalem for the Passover festival. Before his arrest, he shared a meal with them. And it's a meal that we, his followers, share together 2,000 years later. It's called Holy Communion, or the Eucharist, or the Lord's Meal. It's memory food, too. Jesus instructs them to eat and drink, saying, "This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Every week in your bulletin, you'll notice a subtitle that says Words of Institution. And this is the recalling of that night in the upper room centuries ago when our Savior and friend Jesus attached memory and promise to such ordinary things as bread and wine. This meal holds God's promise of forgiveness and unconditional love for you and I. This meal is also simply more than just memory food. It actually does something. You see, it can be easy to doubt the words that we hear at confession, that you are forgiven, or the words that God loves you. Those words can go in one ear and out the other without even touching your heart. But it's not so easy. It's not so with eating and drinking, because this meal is literally meant to fill you up physically and spiritually with God's promise of love, forgiveness, and grace. For this bread and wine carries God's love past our lips and beyond our doubts and self-criticalness so that it's digested, so that it becomes a part of us. We Lutherans, along with our mainline ecumenical partners, We take Jesus at his word. We believe that Jesus is really, truly present in this bread and wine, because wherever Jesus is, there is life and love. When we recall the story of Jesus around the table with his companions instituting this meal, we remember his love for you and I. It's memory food so that we know it not just here in our minds, but also here in our heart and our stomach. It's an internal feeling. It's food that's meant to sustain us in love and faith, just as it did for the Israelites. This meal is the story of our deliverance and our rescue from sin and death. It connects us with Christ's death on the cross, where the love of God dies. Dies so that nobody in life or death can be separated from God's love. The Lord raises Jesus again, and love wins the day. The power of sin and death is defeated. There is new life for you and I, now in this life, in this moment, here, and in the life to come. I once witnessed the power of these promises when I visited Lutheran churches in Guyana, South America. I accompanied a pastor that was visiting homebound members. And we came to a house where an elderly woman was in her final days on her journey on this earth. She had stopped eating and was only conscious only a few hours per day. And when the pastor came to her bedside to give her communion, I wasn't sure what to expect given that she was unconscious. The pastor said, "The body of Christ given for you." And slowly, she opened her mouth to receive the wafer. Then the pastor said, "The blood of Christ shed for you." And she slowly opened her mouth to receive and swallow wine. And then she faintly whispered, "Thanks be to God. Amen." She had spent a lifetime receiving this meal, so much so that it had evoked in her the strength to receive it one last time. She spent a lifetime receiving this meal as God's promise to her of eternal love and life and unconditional love and forgiveness. So my friends, I pray that this bread and wine becomes for you what Jesus intended. Memory food that stirs up God's love for you and strengthens your trust in God's goodness all the days of your life. Even if you don't fully understand, even if you feel undeserving, even if you feel like an outsider, come, bring your whole self to this meal. Come and receive the Lord's meal and trust that you are loved unconditionally. Thanks be to God. Amen.